On this 44th Earth Day, one of the most successful species on our planet, humans, they're having to say farewell to hundreds of species that are facing extinction, direct competition with humanity, along with climate impacts from the growth of the human footprint on Earth, are all placing the planet on a potentially catastrophic ecological threshold. Evidence of a mass species die-off can be found everywhere around the globe. It is perhaps the best evidence of the unbalanced impact of the human population growth in the post-industrial age. The consequences for the planet and for humanity from a significant reduction in biodiversity from an extinction are uncertain, but undeniably alarming to scientists. I want to welcome Elizabeth Colbert, staff writer for The New Yorker and author of The Sixth Extinction, An Unnatural History. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
So document for us scientifically what is going on in this extinction that is both similar and different from the other mass extinctions that really are in the historical record going back millions of years.
Well, mass extinctions are really just defined as these moments, and you know, you have to understand moment in a geological context, so not like this minute, but in a relatively short period of time where the diversity of life on the planet for some reason suddenly plummets. So for example, you know, 66 million years ago, an asteroid plowed into planet Earth and diversity on Earth plummeted. That's when we lost the dinosaurs among many other groups of organisms. And right now, unfortunately, extinction rates are very high. Diversity is dropping, you know, very rapidly in geological sense. And you sometimes hear scientists say that we are the asteroid in this context.
And what do we lose in terms of the relationships between species? Because certainly part of the heartbreaking quality of reading this book is to see individual species that don't appear to have a chance. But it's the connections that really change something from an extinction event to a mass extinction event.
The fact of the matter is that we only know a tiny fraction of the species that are even out there, and to understanding their interactions is something that just on some level just beginning to do. It's very, very complicated. But the more we look at the effects of taking an organism or a group of organisms out of an ecosystem, the more we learn that there are, you know, cascading effects through the ecosystem. So one of the groups that's been looked at most closely, I guess you'd say, are large carnivores, which are really gone from most ecosystems now, right? So, and those seem to have a very big cascading effect. You get rid of those apex predators, and you know, a lot of other things proliferate that you know, then eat things that then destroy habitat for, let's say, birds. So those effects really do ripple out through the landscape.
And they can only be caused by competition with humans, who are also at the apex.
Well, I mean, one of the things that's really important to keep in mind, and it's really sort of the basic point of the book, to be honest, is that extinction is something that in the normal course of events, once again, normal here being, you know, the course of geological time, it happens really rarely. So, for example, in the case of mammals, you know, one species of mammal should go extinct, you know, every several hundred years. So if you're a person who lives for, say, 80 years, you should never see a mammal go extinct. Now, we all know of mammals that have either gone extinct in our lifetimes or on the very, very edge of extinction. And unfortunately, in all of these extinctions, we are a causal agent.
As we step away from the apex predators and look into some of the unique island communities of ecological diversity, places like Madagascar and Hawaii, it's also these ecosystems that were protected by their isolation that no longer have that protection.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Hawaii is a really, really interesting sort of laboratory, if you like, of extinction, and it shows it to us in its myriad forms. And it's been called the extinction capital of the world, actually. And it, as you say, it's very isolated, one of the most isolated places on the planet. So one of the great mysteries on some level is how, you know, anything got there. At all, and yet it did. It had, you know, wonderful birds and a great flora, certainly, and these unique snails that you can find only on Hawaii. So animals made it. They radiated out and formed new species. It was this unique flora and fauna. It was missing many groups of animals. For example, you know, mammals, land mammals. So when people arrived and they brought, you know, rats and pigs and things like that, it really devastated the ecosystem, and that has just continued. We've just brought more and more non-native species over, and the native species just were unprepared to deal with that.
You spend a lot of time staring into the eyes or looking firsthand at species that are threatened. How important is that to develop the kind of empathy that's going to cause people to take political action and not think of these extinct species or threatened species as simply competitors or statistics or small events in the course of human history?
Well, you know, I really did try to convey some of those stories, you know, where there are just very few representatives left. And in the case, for example, of the Sumatran rhino, where I was fortunate enough to hang out with one of the world's last Sumatran rhino, who's also a very wonderful animal. And if the future of the planet depends on everybody, you know, looking into the eyes of a Sumatran rhino, then I'm afraid we're in trouble. There are just too few of them left.
All right, so let's step back then. If we were entering Earth orbit and looked at the planet on a planetary scale, what would we see in 100 years that would give unmistakable evidence that, wow, they had a mass extinction down there?
I think what, you know, you're going to see, and it's also one of the sort of major themes of the book, is that what's happening right now is going to leave a mark that is, for all intents and purposes, permanent. So 100 million years from now, if you're a geologist and you could look back to the geological record, you would see, you know, on the one hand, many, many organisms went extinct. We can see extinctions, but you're also going to see a lot of different traces of what's going on right now. We're going to see this huge emissions of carbon, you know, that we are, the carbon dioxide that we're putting up into the air by burning coal and oil and natural gas, that also leaves a record in the rock record. So a lot of different ways we're going to be visible.
Elizabeth Colbert, staff writer for The New Yorker, author of The Sixth Extinction, An Unnatural History. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.